Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and not in the studio with me this morning, as he usually is my good buddy Lee Cantor. But we never fly solo here at Business Radio X. I got my producer and other co-host, Kevin Finn, with me. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Stone. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, but I got to wonder if you're not dragging a little bit with a last name like Finn. Surely you got every last drop of fun and excitement out of St. Patrick's Day.
I did. This whole weekend was a blast. I thought today was supposed to be a holiday. When you called me and told me I had to come in, I was pretty disappointed.
Well, it may not be a holiday, but it is a banner day. We've got a fantastic segment lined up for you this morning. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Tom Licatus, Vice President of Advisor Development in Atlanta for an organization called NetWise. But first up on High Velocity Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to welcome back to the studio, no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone, the Atlanta Chapter President of the Junior Chamber, Mr. Trevor Smith. How you doing, man?
Good to be back, Stone. I feel like family now. It's the third time around.
Yeah. Well, we love having you. You always have plenty to share. And you brought a guest with you today.
I did. We have a very special guest. Our U.S. National President is in town visiting with us, Crystal Ramsey Dias. And she's here along with our World President, who's in town. Unfortunately, couldn't make the interview today, but she will be with us tonight at our event.
Cool. Crystal is in the house. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. I'll tell you what would be a helpful reminder for me and certainly valuable for our listeners. Can you give us just a little bit of an overview, mission, and purpose for your organization?
Yes. Our mission is to provide development opportunities that empower young people to create positive change. So we're a group of, we like to say youngsters, between the ages of 18 and 40, who get together and look in our communities and ask what is needed in the community, and we come up with sustainable solutions, creating positive change in our community. So that's our whole focus.
I think you've answered that question before.
Maybe a couple times, just a couple.
So how did you get involved? What's the backstory on you?
So I wanted to become involved because I heard my local chapter did a haunted house, and I thought that was kind of a cool thing, and they took all of that money and gave needy kids Christmas. So I became involved and thought I would just be a general member while I was going to college, and now 11 years later, I'm the national president. So somewhere along the line, someone told me I was fabulous, and I ended up here. So.
Well, you are fabulous, and you're doing a fabulous job of sharing the information with our folks already. So what is the day-to-day life of the Grand Poobah, the national president? What do you do on a typical Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Well, I'm traveling about 18 to 20 days a month. I do have a husband and an 8-year-old who are wonderful and being very supportive as I'm on the road, and I'm visiting states, but I also am the chief representative for JCI USA, so I get the opportunity to travel international as well to represent JCI USA, so that's a lot of fun, but visiting chapters and states and there to assist in whatever way possible, whether it be media or events or trainings or whatever's needed, so.
So, Trevor, how would you describe the difference, if any, in the JCs and other professional groups?
So what sets us apart, I think, from a lot of other groups, especially in the metro area, there's three things I see the JCs or Junior Chamber International. It's kind of an interchangeable term.
Okay.
So the one part, we have the social aspect. We all get together. We make friends. Some of my best friends are all JCI members. The second part, there's the business networking. You know, you meet potential clients. You may be looking for a job. We have a lot of people come to our chapter, maybe new to town. They say, hey, do you guys know any companies that are hiring? Well, myself, I have a lot of clients who are, you know, hiring up-and-coming businesses. So we help people get jobs. And then the third would be our community development. And that's probably the biggest part. We try and reach back to the local community. Just yesterday, we did Bowl for Kids' Sake with Big Brothers Big Sisters. And we raised over $138,000 for the one event yesterday. And we do those things once, twice a month. So we're always trying to give back. And we'll be touring the Nicholas House on Tuesday. They are not necessarily a homeless shelter. They don't give a hand out, but they give a hand up. So they're always trying to have sustainable impact on the community and help people get back on their feet.
Crystal, what a blast it must be to travel and then get a chance to participate in some of these activities. And you must just be beaming with pride knowing that Trevor's running things down here, huh?
Absolutely. Trevor's fabulous. And it's nice to visit the chapters in the other states and see what everybody is doing to see how similar we are. No matter what size city you're in, you're still doing those things to find those sustainable solutions and creating positive change in whatever way you can in your community. So it's wonderful.
So the member profile, the criteria, is this something like Kevin Finn? Kevin, how old are you?
I'm 25, almost 26.
So, Kevin.
Yes.
We talked last time.
We did.
Our demographic would be 21 to 40. It's typically the young professionals. And the Atlanta chapter, our outreach is, typically ITP folks. We have some outside the perimeter, if you don't know what ITP
is. Inside, okay,
ITP,
I got
OTP.
It, I got it.
But most of our folks are in the Buckhead, Virginia Highlands, Midtown area.
And so you think Kevin can make the cut, or what are you saying?
Yeah, I think
if his check clears.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
So let's say an organization like ours says, hey, Kevin, this is a great organization. It'd be good for us. It'd be good for you. Kevin probably would figure this out without any real direction, but I got to believe when you first join an organization like this, there's a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of trepidation. How do I get involved? Crystal, what counsel, if any, would you share with our listeners? Not just for JCs, really, I guess, any professional organization. What are some things you should do to get the full value out of something like that and get to start to know some people?
I think the benefit for JCI is that you get the opportunity to not only participate in events that are already going on, but come with ideas and say, here's some wonderful organizations that I've been working with, or here's a thought that I had that we could do to improve our community. And you have an army of individuals now who will get with you to put that idea into action. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that you have to just come in with an open mind and say, what can I do to be involved and be an active citizen? And we're here to help you do that.
So it's like increasing your network tenfold, and really just a huge networking tool for anyone, and also creating a big family.
Oh, absolutely. And we were talking about this last night at dinner, that you trust an individual that you work alongside with all the time. So if I'm, building a house with Trevor, I'm going to understand what he does for a living and talk to him about it. And I know, like, and trust him. So when I start looking to buy real estate, I'm going to go to somebody I know, like, and trust, and that's going to be Trevor's.
Oh, so and one thing I've noticed about JCs or JCI is it's a brotherhood. And so I've gotten a few emails now, just being president for only 2.5 months. The past national president of Turkey was in town visiting.
Oh, wow.
And so he said, hey, Trevor, do you guys have any events? I said, yes, we do. We're going salsa dancing at Fernbank. And so he came out and hung out with the JCs, and we went salsa dancing. I had a good time. I most recently got the opportunity to go to the Dominican Republic. Both Crystal and I went down there for some training, and we met with leaders from South America, Central America, North America, 20-plus different countries. And so now I like to say I have friends all over the Americas, and so it's a good brotherhood. So I traveled to Panama afterwards and had some friends down there, just got to hang out with them. And when you meet someone from JCI, it's an immediate bond, because you both share the same outlook and ideas without even knowing the person. You kind of already trust them, kind of thing. So it's a cool thing.
Man, this is a little bit depressing for me, because I'm too long in the tooth to be part of this organization. But maybe I can live vicariously from staff members or being people like,
that's right,
like Kevin.
I'll take my iPad and I'll record everything for you while I'm there.
I get the sense that you and Crystal both would probably continue to be a part of this organization, even if you couldn't directly connect immediate bottom line benefits of your affiliation with JCI and business results at Wesley in your case. But I got to say, in the same breath, I think you've shared with us before, it actually has had a very positive impact on your business life, yeah?
Yes. When I first joined the JCs, I said, no, it's more of a friend thing. Yeah. I'm never going to get any business out of it. And now I have a ton of clients in it. It's just a great organization. And that wasn't what I got into it for. My first event with the JCs was a community development event that we did at the Atlanta Zoo. And that just hooked me. So it's a lot of fun.
So, Crystal, we're coming right off of St. Patrick's Day as we go into this broadcast, but you guys have something coming up, St. Baldrick's Day. Am I saying that right?
Yes, and I will let Trevor talk about that, since it's a local event, and what will be happening with that.
Did you just make this guy up, Trevor?
No, it's a big event.
Some guy with no hair?
Some guy with potentially no hair,
yes.
So what St. Baldrick's Day is, some guys got together and said, hey, maybe we can raise some money if we tell our friends and family if they don't pay us, we're going to shave our head. Or vice versa, however you want to play it. So Mike DiLenardo is a past Atlanta JC president, and he started this 9 years ago, and they've raised over $800,000.
Wow.
One event per year. And so he has gotten too busy with all of his Atlanta beer festivals and stuff that he does and said, Trevor, can you guys take this over for us? And so now we are taking over from Mike D, and the event will be April 13th at Front Page News. And depending on who pays how much money, I will be shaving or not shaving my head on April 13th. And it's something where you can do like an office pool, or you can have your friends get together. And you know, my mom will be paying for me to keep my hair. You know, some of my friends who hate me might just be like, okay, we're going to give him like $2,000 to shave his head. So it's a fun thing. And we'll have a band, and Miss USA will be emceeing the party. And we're giving away some Final Four tickets. We're partnering with Go Dodgeball. Has been a big partnership. We're getting along with those guys. Go Kickball. Kickball Atlanta.
Oh, I was going to get you. I'm going to do it anyway because it's my show. I love quoting, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
I have bruises because we just finished their dodgeball league. I have bruises on my body
right.
from hanging out with those guys. And our members get discounts for their stuff and vice versa. And we actually tonight is kicking off our kickball team, which I will not be in attendance at because we have a big JCI event tonight.
So what would it cost me to get Kevin's head shaved?
$5.
$5. I mean,
just
big spender.
He has to start his own webpage and link it to our event, and then you know he can send out the link to his friends and family, and they can donate to it.
Way cool. Now, Crystal, with all this success comes also a tremendous amount of responsibility. You guys are raising a lot of money. Talk to us a little bit about what happens to the money after you raise it.
It really just depends on what the chapter's focus is and what each project is. We are big supporters of the American Cancer Society. We've been partners with them since 2008 and raised over $1 million. And we raise about $350,000 a year across the U.S. for the American Cancer Society. And our other big project nationwide is Nothing But Nets, where we send bed nets to Africa to save folks from malaria. And we have JCI, since we're in 115 countries, is something we do internationally. And we, too, have raised over $1 million with them since we've partnered with them in 2008. And our goal this year for the JCI USA is $200,000. So it's one net per member sent over to Africa to help with malaria. So.
And $10 saves a child's life.
Yep.
Yeah, this net is no little thing. This is really saving lives.
And it actually, the idea of it started out of Atlanta. Garrett Gravison, Mike DiLenardo, and a few others were put together, and this concept came up and just ran with it, and it caught like wildfire.
So, Crystal, tell us a little bit about the rest of your trip. You're here this week, is it?
I leave on Tuesday,
uh-huh.
And then I have to drive home, and I fly out to Vegas on Thursday. We were just talking about that. On the other
now,
we're starting a chapter
out
there.
What a tough life.
Man, right.
Somebody's got to do it, right?
That's right. That's right.
So some other important dates to remember?
Tonight, especially, we're doing a meet and greet. So President Kiara, our JCI World President, is in town, and she will be with us there this evening. The location, I will let Trevor say.
not that you don't know.
I just get in the car and go with him wherever.
She just told where she's going. She's busy, busy. It's Modern Bar and Restaurant on Piedmont Road, right there before Peachtree. And it's a new, trendy kind of place. We're not charging our guests tonight. We want it just kind of an open to the public thing. We'll have free appetizers. We want all members and guests to come. So we're inviting everyone out. It starts at 6 o'clock, and we'll be going till around 9 o'clock tonight. And it's a chance to meet JCI World President Kiara, and then Crystal Ramsey, our National President. Michael over here, who you haven't heard because he's off the radio.
Michael the Mute.
Michael the Mute. He's our state president. And then myself, I'll be there. So we'll have local, state, national, and world in one room, so it should be pretty cool.
I got to say, because our listeners can't see this, I think we've set a record today. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 people in the studio aside from Kevin and myself, and we have 3 ties. And the only reason Crystal's not wearing a tie is because she's very smartly dressed in
exactly.
a more female-appropriate
I don't
attire.
Know who's going to win
is
best dress
record?
For this show. I think Trevor got – have you seen his fancy JCI cufflinks right here? How do
very
you get
nice.
Those?
Very
I got
nice.
Them at the world headquarters in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah?
All right.
So before we wrap, let's make sure that we let our listeners know how to get in touch, how to learn more about JCI. And again, the I, very important part of this thing.
You got international. Yes.
Yeah, so let's make sure we've got and then let's coordinates, and also let's recap some important upcoming events.
Okay. So the international website would be jci.cc. And then if you want to get involved locally, our website is www.jciatlanta.org. And then our big event tonight with the world and national president would be at Modern Bar. And then we have St. Baldrick's Day on April 13th at Front Page News.
Fantastic. And Trevor, thanks for coming. Thanks so much for bringing Crystal. Crystal, what a delight to have you come visit with us.
Thank you. Thank you. And now we have high expectations that Kevin will come to the event this evening.
There you go. Oh. Kevin,
and bring his girlfriend so he has
bring
no
my
excuses.
Girlfriend, so I have no excuses.
No excuses.
You're going to bring both?
Maybe.
Ooh.
Just give us a heads up which one is coming.
Hey, listen, guys, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Oh, yes.
Sure, sure.
Outstanding. Next up on High Velocity Radio, we have with us from NetWise, Mr. Tom Lakatus. Good morning, sir.
Stone, how are you?
I am doing well. I think maybe you were enjoying that last conversation.
I was. Yeah? I'm actually sitting here trying to figure out what everybody will look like with no hair. Right?
Right. It's going
to
be scary.
I might kick in to see Kevin, actually.
So NetWise, give us a little bit of a feel for what you guys are out there trying to do for folks.
Absolutely. I'd be glad to. NetWise is a new kind of financial services firm. And really what we're trying to do is change the notion of what financial planning is by providing affordable financial advice that's personal to middle-class Americans. So it's a demographic that's traditionally been underserved, and we feel like there's a whole lot of opportunity.
So you really are focusing on the middle class.
We are.
And how do you define middle class? Because I think the politicians there seems to be a wide berth of how they define middle class. What's your definition?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question. And I get it a lot, as you might suspect. I think that when I think about middle class, I think about goals. And I think about things like sending kids to school. And I think about things like paying off debt. And I think about living in alignment with the things that you want for yourself. If I were to classify it economically, I think about people with incomes somewhere between $50,000 and $150,000, and that assets traditionally south of $250,000 to $500,000.
And so, why the focus on this group? What compels you to stay in that vein?
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is. We think there's a lot of opportunity in that particular demographic. And you know, what's interesting is if you think about the last number of years, right? So we've been through this horrible recession and a lot of people suffered. And there was one bright spot. And that bright spot was that people really are starting to come to the realization that they own their own financial success like no generation before.
Yeah.
And so when you think about that, then we did a survey in December. And we surveyed Atlanta households in the middle class. And what we found was that 2/3 of people in that demographic, they want financial advice, but only 1/3 has it. So what we know is that working with a financial advisor greatly ultimately increases the likelihood of success. So we think there's a tremendous opportunity to go along with the tremendous need in a demographic that's traditionally underserved.
So, Kevin, are you middle class?
I might be a little lower than middle class.
Nah, you went to Galloway.
I did go to Galloway, so.
So grandma and mom and dad are not middle class,
exactly.
But you are? Is that the
I
deal?
I am, exactly. I've been cut off.
So only 1/3. Why? What causes people not to seek financial advice, more people and maybe earlier and more often, you think?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, right? The biggest two are they believe that it's not affordable. And they believe they don't have enough money. And so while we are targeting the middle class, I want to be clear. I mean, we have a fee-free FDIC-insured savings account for people just getting started. Our minimum investment in a diversified portfolio is $5,000. We certainly have clients, and we're finding that we're a solution for people outside the middle-class demographic on the high end, too, who want a low cost affordable way to do financial planning. So while we're targeting that group, what we're finding is that we're a viable solution for a lot of people. The trick is getting people to get past this notion that it's not for them. Because as I said, what we know is that people who work with an advisor over time are significantly more likely to achieve their financial goals.
So even if I'm just getting started in my career, maybe I'm very active in JCI, I've got my first or second professional job, maybe I don't have $5,000, but I can get started and start putting some money away and get ready and have a little bit of access to you guys with this account you talked about, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what financial advice is, right? And so to me, simply put, it's when it's done well, anyway, it's a process of aligning your values with your goals and then aligning your behavior with those values and those goals. And so here's a great example. I was just starting out. I wanted to buy my first house. I had a financial advisor, and he took me through an exercise designed to understand where my money was going. And we tracked our expenses, my wife and I, every day for a month. And what we found out was I was spending $135 a month at Starbucks.
Ouch, you found out and your wife found out.
That's right.
That must have been fun.
That's right. Sounds like a lot. It's,
yeah,
it's,
Crystal over here is frowning. She's not happy.
Yeah, and it sounds like a lot. It's a venti latte a day. And there was a Starbucks in my office. And I distinctly recall my wife looking at me and saying, honey, I want that house more than that Starbucks. And what do you think? And I value my marriage. And I said, of course. And so we started to buy the beans and we started to make it home. And I started to take my coffee to work. And what I tell people, though, that wasn't the point. The point really was that I was starting to make informed decisions and aligning my actions with the goal of buying the house. And what I came to my own conclusion was that was more important to me than the latte every day. And so when financial planning is done well, that same concept applies to everything you want to accomplish with your money, not just saving and investing. It applies to paying off debt and sending kids to school, and it applies to having an estate plan. So if I die prematurely, my kids don't have to sit through probate and all these things that people traditionally put off.
So there goes the Starbucks sponsorship.
Right. It's not a guilt exercise. I want to be clear about that. It's, you know, some people in our industry choose to motivate with fear. I mean, I don't. Problem with that is it works in the short run, right? But in the long run, you got to scare somebody again. And so at Nestwise, that's part of how we're different, Stone. I mean, it's not about scaring people, really. It's about aligning them. And it's about helping them make good decisions that center on the things that they want to accomplish in their life and inspiring them to act versus scaring them to act.
Your profession just absolutely fascinates me because aside from the mathematical aptitude and the ability to look at things objectively, there's also this other human emotional side, for lack of a better analogy right now. I'm going to use therapist, but I wonder, do you ever find yourself in a situation where you're dealing with a husband and wife, maybe all the way to the extreme of same bed, different dreams, but even if it's, you know, if they're reasonably aligned, do you feel like you're kind of a therapist sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely. I could tell you some stories about conversations I've had. I mean, here's the deal. I mean, number one, you mentioned different bed, different goals, or same bed, different goals. That happens all the time. I've sat with couples who they've never shared this stuff with each other. They don't know, for example, that the other one's version of retirement involves starting a business or becoming a volunteer in a nonprofit organization. They think it's, you know, traveling the world. And so they're surprised sometimes when you can get them to open up and share this dialogue. The other side of it really becomes around, in a lot of ways, you become the person that they would rather insert into the relationship because they don't want to fight with each other about money.
Right.
And a lot of couples do. I mean, this is a serious topic, right? One out of two couples divorces. One out of two divorces is over money. And so smart couples sometimes can interject somebody else to bear the brunt of that and ultimately become their trusted partner over time. And somebody that collaborates with them and in a lot of cases gets them on the same page, which then makes them more powerful in pursuit of their goals.
So, Trevor, Kevin, I want to invite both of you into the conversation to ask a specific question. Do you guys, because I suspect you have several friends that are starting to make a little bit of money, do you have a lot of friends that do not are not getting financial counsel, and have they expressed why they're not doing that? I'll ask you first, Kev.
Yeah, I have plenty of friends that aren't getting financial counsel, except for maybe picking a racehorse on the track and going to Vegas. But yeah, that really is a big problem. They don't think about their future. They're about the now, the immediate, the instant gratification. But if they don't start thinking of the future, no one's looking after our generation at all. It's us. We're taking care of our own retirement.
You know, to Kevin's credit, I thought financial advising and planning was the dealer behind the blackjack. Because you're like, do I hit? Do I split? Do I double down? And, you know, he typically gives good advice.
Right.
no, I think young people – you know, I'm 26, you know, from 21 to 30. You probably don't even start looking at it until at least you're married or you're 30, I would think.
Right.
That's kind of my viewpoint. But, yeah, there's plenty of people, young people, who are not looking for financial assistance, and that is will be a detriment to them if they don't look out for that now.
So here's the truth or dare portion of our program, and I'm going to use the truth and tell you, I was very late in getting financial counsel. Crystal, I'm sure you have friends as well that it's just something you do next week or next year or tomorrow, yeah?
Until you're in your late 30s and you realize that you have waited till your tomorrow and now it's time to act. So definitely if you have the opportunity, now is the time to act, so you're not looking in your mid to late 30s going, oh, hey, wait, maybe I should have done that 10 years ago.
So I got to ask, what kind of questions should a person be asking when they're first entertaining the idea of engaging a financial advisor? Because I don't even know that I would know what questions to ask. What should I be looking for?
Sure. Well, I think like any other product or service that you look to implement, it starts with whether you feel you like and trust the person that you're going to turn to for advice. And I think that's always where it starts. I mean, I think about my own buying habits. I rarely buy from people I don't like, right? And
right, unless you absolutely have to, right?
Right, or if it's a total commodity where at the end of the day I need that particular commodity and I don't really care who sells it to me. But
right.
when it's centered around an interaction, and to this point of why we don't seek it out, it's funny. I speak a lot publicly, and one of the things I do when I speak is I say, raise your hand if there are more than three people in the world that know the true depth of your financial life. And still, nobody ever raises their hand.
Wow.
The reality is money's incredibly personal. And so it's not something, generally speaking, that we're reaching out and we're looking for. We think that's one of the ways that Nestwise can actually change the industry, because a big part of what we do is interact with people in a way that they interact today. We are hugely advantaged from a technology perspective. A lot of our clients and prospects and potential new clients go online, and that's their first impression with us. And a lot of what they do is in the privacy of their own home, and it's centered around this notion of giving people an avenue to interact with us in a private way so they don't necessarily have to bare their soul to somebody that they just met, because that's part of the roadblock. Because it does center around this idea of like and trust. And that's ultimately, as we know, as people in sales, generally speaking, that takes time to build.
Absolutely. And especially when it's around your money.
Yeah. Well, and but you're absolutely right. There's no, when you think about it, and I guess this is part of the fear, right? Part of that fear thing is you never know what a financial advisor is going to say. What I would say to put people's mind at ease, really when it's done well, it's about three things to me. One, it's about clarity. So the more clarity you have about what it is you need to do in your life, the more likely you are to do it. As an example, I get this question all the time. Tom, I got 7% in my portfolio. How'd I do last year? And my answer is, I don't know. What did you need to do? Because if you needed 4, you did it great. But if you needed 12, I don't have to be a certified financial planner. You didn't do so well. You're going to run out of money. And so the second thing that financial planning does is it takes the emotion out of money decisions. It's interesting. We buy at the mall the exact opposite of the way we buy investments. We love clothes when they're half off. We hate investments when they're half off. We'll stop investing. We'll move it to cash. We do a whole lot of horrible things because money's emotional. And then third, financial planning acts as a way to coach somebody in every element of their life financially.
And so buy low and sell high is still pretty good advice if you can have the emotional discipline to do that.
That's the trick to the – well, and that's the trick to the whole thing. And it's not only that. And this is where financial planning as a concept is really important, because there are a lot of people that just talk about investing. But the problem is if I don't eliminate the things that could cause you to uninvest the money prematurely, I'm leaving wide gaps. Right? The time value of money only works if you leave it invested and let time do its thing. But, for example, if I were to help you implement a Roth IRA, but I didn't talk to you about how likely it is that you're going to get hurt or sick and protect your portfolio against that, right? Whereas the common guy will say, I hate insurance. I don't want to talk about it. The truth is it's a way to make sure that the Roth stays invested for when you retire, which is the whole purpose of saving it in the first place. So these decisions that we make in our life, they're interconnected. And that's the power, ultimately, of planning.
And it does sound like it circles back to values and discipline. One of the Disney brothers, I can't remember which one, said something to the effect of, when your values are clear, your decisions are easy. And one of the things it sounds like you do is help whoever, each individual, get clear about what they're trying to accomplish and why. And it makes the decisions clearer, right?
It really does. I mean, you're forced to ask yourself, is this really what I want? And am I living my life in a way that aligns with those things that matter most to me? And ultimately, I think that's really the power of it, because if you can get people to do that, and you're hitting on it exactly. It's, you know, the single most important factor in someone's portfolio result is ultimately their own investor behavior, mm-hmm. not their ability to pick superior investments. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because ultimately what it's saying is how I act with my money is more important than what I choose to put it into. It's a totally different way to look at it. And we think we're on the cusp of something really important, because we think with the middle class in particular, there's a lot of opportunity to provide them with educational tools, to give them this ability to think differently about their money. And if you can change how they think, you got a real chance to change how they act.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you, circle back to, you mentioned earlier in the conversation something about speaking in front of groups. That
yep.
surprised me a little bit. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, I think that I do it all the time. I've been, my friends have always said I've had some ability, and I don't know if that's true or not. I just know I love to have an impact with people. You know, I have a lot of affinity for what Crystal and Trevor are doing every day, because I'm a nonprofit guy at heart. Before I was a financial advisor, I ran a nonprofit organization in Florida for people with disabilities.
Uh-huh.
And so I've got this deep fundamental need to want to help people. And public speaking for me is something I'm very comfortable with, but I'm also really passionate about helping people with their money. Because I know how important it is. You know, that's not an accident that half of divorces are over money. It ends up yeah. derailing people's lives. And so if you couple what I do for a living with this need to help people, public speaking is a great way for me to do it. So I do it I've taught at schools, and I've spoken at Ohio State and Arizona State and some of the places where I've lived. I've spoken to Rotary and JCs and American Legion and pretty much anywhere that'll let me get up in front of people. Right? 5 to 5,000.
Okay, so website, email, so people can get in touch with you, learn more, maybe invite you to come speak or learn more for their for their personal value.
Absolutely. I will say that you can go to Nestwise, NESTWISE.com. That's our website. You could also call us locally, 678-690-8545. Our office is right across the street from the Perimeter Mall, so we're really close and new to the neighborhood. I've got two licensed financial advisors in Atlanta and several others in process of getting their licenses. And we've got some advisors nationwide that work for us as independent contractors throughout the United States. So we're able to engage with people wherever they live. A lot of our meetings, Stone, happen virtually using Skype and GoTo. Uh-huh. That's part of the technology that I talk about, because I think it's important that people realize it's a really easy company to do business with.
Well, thanks so much for coming down today, man. That was very informative. And, Kevin, did you learn anything out of all that?
I did, too. I need to make more money.
No, you don't. No, you just need to take a percentage of what you make and get
exactly.
with someone.
Invest it. Be smart. I'm
absolutely
excited.
Well, thanks so much for coming down, Tom.
My pleasure. I appreciate you having us. Thanks.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Kevin Finn and our guests this morning, Trevor Smith, Crystal Ramsey-Dias, and Tom Lakatus, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family, saying we'll see you in the fast lane.